Book of John, chapter number 13. I would like to invite you this coming Saturday. We do have the funeral for the memorial service for Brother Don Byrd, and the family has asked. They would like to, because as well as they knew him or didn't know him as well as they would like to, they understood that some of you knew him in maybe a bigger, a different light than what they knew him. And so they asked if you have any anecdotes or any stories or something like that, if you could relay those to me. I'd like to share those with the family at the funeral. So if you could get those to me by Wednesday. Also as well, I know that Brother Byrd hasn't actively attended since COVID and COVID time, but listen, he was a regular attender here for many, many years and was a blessing to a lot of you, if no other reason, coming to your home and repairing things and working and doing so. Let's be here to support his family, amen. And so I know that'll be a real blessing. So if you could get those to me no later than Wednesday, that would be much appreciated. You could just email those to me. You can type it out and email it to me, and then I can make use of that during the service time. So I think that the Lord would be honored and glorified as we would minister to his family. This coming Sunday is the last of the series of messages I've entitled Navigating Your New Year. And today we're going to be looking at this idea of navigating your relationships. There was a business study taken a few years ago that was asked of more than 2,000 employers. They were asked this one question, and the question was this: the last three persons dismissed from your business, why did you let them go? The pollsters were really surprised when they got their answers back, because two out of the three fired employees, regardless of the type of business, regardless of what area of the country it was, they were dismissed for the same reason. Can you guess what it was? Here it is. I'm going to tell you what it is. They couldn't get along with other people. Amen. One of the greatest businessmen who ever lived, John D. Rockefeller, said this: I will pay more for the ability to deal with people than any other ability under the sun. You see, God has designed all of us to have two types of relationships. The first and foremost, we crave a vertical relationship with God. You see, God created man with a vacuum inside of his life that can't be filled with anything or anyone outside of God himself. And oftentimes, people in the world try to fill this void with all kinds of different things. Even Christians do when they backslide on God. But I'm here to tell you that nothing is going to satisfy apart from a relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. So we all have need of a vertical relationship with God. But then secondly, we all have need of horizontal relationships with people. You see, God created two basic institutions to fill this need of our horizontal relationships. The first one is the family. The second one is the church or the body of Christ. So here's the truth. We need not only a vertical relationship, but we need horizontal relationships really to be totally fulfilled. If we don't have the right relationship with God, guess what? We're not going to have a right relationship with other people. And if we don't have a right relationship with other people, guess what? We're not going to have a right relationship with God. Someone said this that I really liked. They said this, and I quote, "You can't be any closer to God than you are to the person you least love." I'll repeat that. You can't be any closer to God than you are to the person that you least love. You see, managing these relationships that you and I have each and every day of our lives, it can be tough. Sometimes it can be more than tough. Sometimes managing these relationships can almost seem to be overwhelming at times. And every one of us has relationships, and these relationships add stress, and they add demands on our time. They cause us to exert energy and expel emotions that we may or may not want to bring up. But as I thought about our relationships and the horizontal relationships, I thought about this person by the name of Jesus. You see, Jesus was no stranger to the stress of relationships. He put up with the faithlessness of his disciples. His own family even rejected his messiahship. He heard the constant outcry of the sick and the poor for Christ to meet their needs. He met head on the criticism of the Pharisees and the religious leaders of his day. But despite of all that, Jesus still had good horizontal relationships. I think about Martha and Mary. I think about Nicodemus. I think about the woman at the well. I think about the rich young ruler. We could just go on and on and on and on. Jesus had very successful horizontal relationships in spite of those people that rejected his Messiah, that cried out for him to heal them, and the head-on criticism of the Pharisees and religious leaders of that day. So as we continue in our series this morning, Navigating Your New Year, I want us to understand that how we are to navigate our relationships, because you see, our relationship with others affect our relationship with God, and our relationship with God affects our relationship with others. So let's stand as to give respect to the reading of God's word, and let's read in John chapter number 15. We'll begin reading in verses 12 down through verse number 15. John 15, beginning verse 12 down through verse number 15. Notice what the Bible says. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I commanded you. Henceforth I call you not servant, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we would look at this passage of Scripture today, oh, Father, I pray as we would think on this thought of navigating our relationships in 2021, I pray, Father, that first of all, the foremost relationship that we need to get settled in our heart is that vertical relationship with you. And maybe there's some here, Father, that don't have that kind of relationship with you. They've never been saved, never trusted in Christ as their Savior. I pray, Father, that this might be the day they repent of their sin and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, Father, maybe there's some who have trusted in Christ as their Savior, but they have walked away from you, turned from your ways, Father, in your word, and began to walk the wicked pathway of this world. Oh, Father, that fellowship needs to be restored. May they come to a point this morning where they understand that they have sinned against a righteous and holy God. And, Father, they repent of that sin, restoring that fellowship with you once again. And then, Father, I pray as we would, as a church body, begin to think about our horizontal relationships, Father, I pray that you would bless in this area. Speak to our hearts, Father. Convict us if that's what's necessary. Father, bring joy and peace to our hearts if that's what we need, Father. But when we're all said and done, we'll be careful to give you praise and honor and glory for it all. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. We're taking our example from the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to look at six ways that you and I can develop good horizontal relationships as we navigate our relationships in 2021. Notice, first of all, as we navigate our relationships in 2021, notice, first of all, that we need to get encouragement from energizers. We need to get encouragement from energizers. Notice energizers empower us. One of the longest running ads on the TV and radio and internet today is the Ever Ready Energizer Bunny. You've seen those commercials. I just love those commercials. I'm sure you already know the slogan. It's already going through your head. He keeps on going and going and going and going. And connection is simply this, that the bunny keeps on going because of the batteries that power that bunny. And in just the same way, energizers are people who empower us and bring out the very best in you and I. We can see the work of energizers throughout the Bible. Think about Moses and his father-in-law, Jethro. Think about Joshua and Caleb. How about Samuel and Eli? Think about David and his friend Jonathan. How about Elisha and Elijah? And then lastly, I think of Paul and Barnabas, who was the son of encouragement. And there's plenty of others that we have failed to mention today. The Bible is chock full of people who were energizers. But of course, the greatest energizer of all is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 5 and verses 3 through 11, we find that Jesus got into a boat that was owned by Simon Peter. And he told him in verse number 4, he said, "Let down your nets for a draught." And even though Peter had been fishing all night and had not caught anything, he obeyed. But notice, because of his obedience, the Bible said there enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their nets break. Notice carefully then what Jesus told them in verse number 10. He says, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." Then the Bible says these words, "They forsook all and followed him." You see, why did they do that? Why did they forsake all and follow him? Why did they give up their boats? Why did they give up their nets? Why did they give up their livelihood? Because Jesus gave them a new purpose and a new energy for their life. You see, energizers, number one, they empower us. But then number two, energizers build quality in our life. I could give you a long list of people that energize me. There's several men and ladies in this church family that are constantly building me up. I have several pastor friends who encourage me. I have a staff member who, despite of the circumstances and the situation, are constantly encouraging this pastor. And of course, I have my dear wife, Diana. She is the major encourager in my life. I think of all the people who encourage you. Think about all the people that build you up. Once you know who builds you up, you know what you ought to do? You ought to spend as much time as possible with those people. Stay away from those that want to throw a cold blanket on your life. Stay away from those who want to walk in the ways of the world. And stay with those who want to encourage you and build you up spiritually. I like to be around those who edify and build me up spiritually. I like to edify and build people up spiritually. Now think of someone that's in your life right now that you can be an energizer to. Just think about it for just a moment. Pray and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you someone who you need to be an energizer to. Maybe it's a shut-in family member. Maybe it's a brother. Could be a sister. Maybe it's a brother or sister in the Lord. Maybe a coworker. Perhaps a teenager. And so I wonder this morning, would you be willing to make a commitment to that person that the Lord has just revealed to you to be an energizer for that person for the next 30 days? I mean, whether it's cold or hot, whether it's snowing or it's raining or it's sunshine, that you're going to be their energizer for the next 30 days. Energizers build quality in our life. And I ask you to do that. Pray about that. Take that seriously. Energizers empower us and build quality in our life. Well, if we're going to be successful in navigating our relationships in 2021, we're not only going to have to get encouragement from energizers, but notice something else. We must realize that nobody is a nobody. We must realize that nobody is a nobody. You see, Jesus valued anyone and everyone. A very interesting fact is that Jesus came, as the Bible says, for the lowly, or we might say wrongly, the nobody. In Luke chapter 1 and verse number 52, it says, "He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree," or in other words, the lowly. You see, Jesus delighted in the nobodies nobody wanted. That's who he delighted in. That's who he wanted to minister, the nobodies that nobody else wanted to do. Think, first of all, how much Jesus loved children. You know, a lot of people in our churches today, they want to do a lot of different things, but not as many people want to work with the young children. They think of that as a nobody's ministry, that they're not going to care. It's not going to make any difference. Jesus did not feel that way. He held them in his arms. He sat them down upon his lap. He laughed with them. No doubt he prayed with them and even perhaps played with them. In Matthew 19 and verse 14, we find these words. And Jesus said, "Suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." You see, Jesus loved the lowly. He loved the downcast. He loved the downtrodden because he knew that he could be a help to them. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse number 6, the first part of that verse says this, "Nevertheless, God comforted those that are cast down." Think about it. Who did Jesus eat with? He ate with tax collectors, had his feet washed by a prostitute. He touched the lepers. He healed the lame. But the most important of all, he cared for those whom society could care any less about. Just as Jesus valued anyone and everyone, notice secondly, we influence people one at a time. We influence people one at a time because nobody is a nobody to Jesus. Nobody should be a nobody to you and I. My stepfather Richard was this way. Whenever he would go, he would always find someone that he could talk to. And he could talk to the president or he could talk to the man on the street. It didn't matter who they were or what they were. Nobody was a nobody to him all his life. And I believe that's why he was such a good people person. And that's why God had blessed him throughout his years of working and ministering, because nobody was a nobody. Understand this morning that nobody is a nobody here at Sharon Baptist Church. There was a letterhead of a church I used to belong to when I first came back from overseas. And the letterhead slogan was this: where everybody is somebody, and Jesus is Lord. I like that slogan, where everybody is somebody, and Jesus is Lord. And all of us have been nobodies in our life at one time or another. Just think back, maybe on occasion here and occasion there, and we felt like we've been a nobody, but until somebody made us feel like a somebody, we felt like a nobody. Listen, we don't want anybody to feel like a nobody here at Sharon Baptist Church. If that happened to you, if you were feeling like a nobody and somebody made you feel like a somebody, I can guarantee you this, you'll never forget that person. You'll never forget that time when they made you feel like a somebody like you do in the eyes of God. Don't forget this principle and be the somebody that makes somebody feel like a somebody. Well, I think if we're going to successfully navigate our vertical relationships, we'll not only have to get encouragement from others, we must realize that nobody is a nobody. But notice thirdly, don't be a drain. Don't be a drain. You see, we need to understand this morning that Jesus came to give joy. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 11, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." You see, our joy doesn't come from ourselves. Our joy doesn't come from circumstances or situations. Our joy, the Bible says, from Christ's own words himself, said that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. So we could say this, that it is God's will that you and I maintain a maximum amount of joy in our life. He said in John 16 and verse 24, "Hitherto have ye asked anything in my name, and ye shall receive," get this, "that your joy may be full." You see, Jesus understands that because of our flesh and because of the carnality of the world and the living situations, that sometimes that we are not going to experience the max amount of joy in our life. But he says, it's there. It's my joy. I'm giving it to you. I want your joy to be full. John writes in 1 John 1 in verse number 4, "And these things write we unto you, that your," guess the word, "joy may be full." There's no such thing as half a joy in a Christian's life. You might be experiencing that, but that's not what God desires for us. He desires that our joy be full all the way up to the brim and overflowing. Despite this, God's people are to be joyous people. Despite the trials, despite the hardships that come into our life, we're joyous because of Christ who lives in us. You see, if you were to take a good hard look at yourself, you would have to say this then. If that is true, and by the way, it is true, then I have no reason not to be joyful. You have no reason to say, "I'm barely making it." You have no reason to say, "I'm not doing very well today." We should say, "Praise the Lord, I'm doing wonderful because I have the joy of the Lord inside of me today." and don't allow our situations and circumstances to drag us down. Jesus came to give joy. It's freely there if you'll just receive that joy. But then notice, secondly, people who focus on themselves sap others' energy. People who just focus on themselves sap other people's energies. Some Christians have a hard time showing their joy. Every church has a few of them, even Sharon Baptist Church, that they do not show the joy of the Lord in their heart. Whenever you talk to them, they always want to talk about their problems and their situation. Kind of reminded of Galatians 6 and verse 2, where the Bible says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." But here's what the point I'm getting at this morning. If we're constantly focusing on our problems, how can we be there for others? If we're worried about our own burdens, how can we bear other people's burdens? You heard people say this before. "I just got so much on me right now, I can't even think about that. I can't even take that on. Don't even let inform me about that. I've got so many things in my life right now that I just can't handle all those." Here's what we need to do. We need to find our joy is in the Lord. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with sharing your burdens and sharing your problems. As a matter of fact, we're commanded to bear one another's burdens. But the key to having good relationships is focusing on someone else's need and not your own need. And I found this out. When you focus on someone else's need and your burdens get a little bit lighter. And they seem to just go away the more that you focus on others' burdens. And by the way, when you do that, it's not some magic thing that happens, but our joy increases and our joy is filled once again. So stop whining about your burdens and begin to care for other people's burdens. Well, if we're going to successfully navigate our relationships, we're going to have to get encouragement from energizers. We're going to have to realize that nobody is a nobody. And we're going to have to understand that we do not want to be a drain. But then notice, fourthly, there's another area if we want to have good horizontal relationships. We're going to have to learn to listen. Learn to listen. You see, listening takes concentration. And in concentration, that means it takes love and time. In John 15 and verse 14, the Bible says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask him anything according to his will, he heareth us." You see, anybody can hear, but listening takes concentration. Henceforth, love and time to listen. So I'm asking you this question now. Think about this for just a moment. Are you hearing right now, or are you listening? Anybody can sit in church and hear, but are you listening? Are you concentrating, showing love, and giving up your time to see what God has for you? Well, listening takes concentration, but then listening takes something else as well this morning. We find that listening takes caring. Listening takes caring. David Wood, who's an evangelist, put a soul winning program together in the early 90s. It was a pretty good soul winning program, and I went through the larger program, and then I went through the smaller soul winning program. It was called Operation Go, the first one, and it was a wonderful program. It taught me how to become a more effective soul winner. But in that second course, that shorter course, David Woods teaches people this. He said, "People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care." I'm going to repeat that again. People don't care how much you know how much you care. You see, all your talents, all your skills in the world are useless until people understand and know that you care about them, you love them, and care about them. We show that we care by, get this, taking the time to listen and not just hear. You see, we in the world today, we have a bad habit. We listen to everybody. We hear everybody, but we listen to very few people. And nothing aggravates me more than that when I'm speaking to someone and I come to this realization that they're hearing, but they're not really listening what I have to say. They're being sidetracked doing another thing. And God, help me when I do that to you. Forgive me when I do that to you. I'm trying to be a better listener and not just a hearer. You see, here's the truth. Anyone can hear, but not everybody can take the time and care enough to begin to listen to people. Let me illustrate it to you this way. After 10 months of talking to people with their mask on, you know how difficult that is sometimes, particularly if they would have an accent, whether it's foreign or southern or northern or out west. And you know how hard it is. So after 10 months of listening to people talk with their mask on, I finally understand what Charlie Brown's teacher was saying, amen. Listen, that's the difference between listening and hearing, amen. So if we're going to navigate our vertical relationships correctly in the new year, we're not only going to have to learn to listen, but then notice fifthly, we're going to have to deal carefully with conflict. Deal carefully with conflict. You know, all relationships have conflicts. Even if it's your spouse, your children, your co-workers, your family, or maybe another church member, as we begin to think about our horizontal relationships, every relationship that you have will at some point eventually have some form of conflict. Maybe it's just the level of an irritation that you can kind of get over. Maybe it just moves over a little bit to a pet peeve, or perhaps it might even to be a knockdown, drag-out, major disagreement inside your life. There's the problem with us. Because of our flesh, and because of the flesh that we still live in and work through every day, we understand this, that when we disagree with someone, we think that we are always right. Every time when you have a disagreement, whether it's major or whether it's minor with someone, here's the thought, they're wrong and I'm right. Am I right? Yes, I am, amen, because I'm the same way just as you. And our problem is that our flesh wants us to think that we are right and they are wrong. But the trick is to learn to deal carefully with conflicts that come into our life. And knowing that all relationships have conflicts, notice secondly, we can use these conflicts as tools or weapons. You say, well, Pastor Carroll, what do you mean conflicts as tools or weapons? Most problems in our horizontal relationships usually come because we react incorrectly to conflicts that come into our life. That's most of our problems. We don't act right. We don't say right. We don't do right. We react incorrectly when we had trouble and problems in our horizontal relationships. You see, it's kind of like we're standing in front of a fire and we have a bucket of water in this hand. We have a gallon of gasoline in this hand and we're trying to decide which one to throw on. And most people today, including independent fundamental Baptists, they don't even make a choice. They just throw the gas on it, amen. But it ought to be that we ought to deal carefully with our conflicts and our horizontal relationships in 20 and 21 in order that we might appear to be Christ-like to a lost and dying world. Proverbs 20 and verse 32 has these words for us. The lips of a righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. That word frowardness literally translates contrary words. And so when we have the right frame of mind, if we're living and walking in the Spirit as we're studying on Sunday evenings, understand this, that you know what the righteous is supposed to say. But most times our problems come because we're not walking in the Spirit. We're not doing those things that God would have us to do. We're not exhibiting those fruit of the Spirit in our life. And so because of that, we choose the opposite way. And the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. And we throw the gallon of gasoline on our problems. If we'll just take the time to work through our conflicts and our relationships will grow stronger and deeper. But it takes hard work. And we don't really like hard work. We want an easy way out. So we just throw gasoline on it, hoping that they'll catch on fire and turn and go, and we won't have to deal with the problem. But the truth of the matter is that problem will still be there. And there will be another time, another point in your life when you'll be at that same place. You have to decide again, am I going to throw water or am I going to throw gas on it? Well, not only should we deal carefully with conflicts, but then notice lastly that we should value our integrity. We need to value our integrity. Relationships are damaged by breaking that trust. In Luke chapter 6 and verse number 31, the Lord said, "And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise." So in other words, we could say this: if you want trust in the relationship, guess what? You're going to have to give trust. If you want joy in a relationship, guess what? You're going to have to give joy in that relationship. The worst threat to any relationship is the failure to depend upon the other person. Value your integrity. But then notice, secondly, respect flows from that integrity. I don't always agree with my wife. I don't. And she'll tell you that I don't. But I respect her and I value her. I don't always agree with some of the positions of some of the members of this church, but you know what? I respect you personally, and I'm thankful that you do have an opinion. In Proverbs 10 and verse number 9, the first part of that verse, the Bible says, "He that walketh uprightly," or in other words, with integrity, "walketh surely." So, my friend, we need to understand that we need to value our integrity by our mouth and our walk. And if you want to be respected in your horizontal relationships, you must walk with integrity and you must walk with trust. Let me illustrate it to you this way. Many of you might be familiar with Randall Cunningham. He was very talented, but a troubled 6'4" NFL quarterback, and was known for making some very stunning and very miraculous plays. But he was also known for being selfish and self-centered and alienating his teammates. In 11 seasons that he was with the Philadelphia Eagles, he gained a reputation of being a very difficult person. And after the 1995 season, he just walked away from the Philadelphia Eagles, disgusted with his final season, and he sat out the next year. He spent a year cutting marble for kitchen fixtures, and he said that he left football needing a good shot of humility. Then he later on, he said this, and I got it. He said this: "I was egotistical in certain areas of my life. All I thought about was myself. And to get down and be with those guys in the trenches, laying tile, grinding countertops, and dirt flying in your face, it made me realize how tough it is to be out there." But then came the miracle comeback. He gave his life to Jesus Christ, was baptized, and joined a local New Testament church. He then waited for God to let him know exactly what to do next. He didn't make any phone calls, but decided that if a team was going to call him, it was going to be because God led that team to call him. And at 35, he had told every team he intended to remain retired from football. And as far as anyone knew, he was not even reconsidering that thought. He said this: "I said, 'Jesus, if it's your will for me to play football, give me a sign. Have teams call me.'" Well, you know the rest of the story. The Vikings called, and at the end of the 1997 season, Cunningham strapped on shoulder pads again. His new poise was evident to his coaches. "I promise you that his faith is real, and a single season for his play on the field as any." The Viking offensive coordinator, Brian Billick, told USA Today, "And that calm has rubbed off on me," said the coach. He was also known for having a violent temper. He said this: "I'm overflowing with Jesus," Randall Cunningham told reporters. He said, "Some people don't want to hear that about that, and they get offended by it. I guess those people are those who have not received him as their personal savior. Because I know this, once Jesus has touched your life, you can't deny him. I can't deny him." You see, he has found new integrity, and that integrity has brought on respect of others. Well, how have you been navigating your relationships since the start of the year? That's the million-dollar question this morning. If you want to be successful, you're going to have to get encouragement from energizers. You're going to have to realize that nobody is a nobody in this life. Don't be a drain on others. Learn to listen and just not hear. Deal with conflict correctly. And lastly, value your integrity. And just as Jesus was successful with both his horizontal relationships and his vertical relationship with God the Father, your relationships can be successful as well. But remember this one thing. If you don't have the right relationship with God, you're never going to have a right relationship with the other people. And if you don't have a right relationship with other people, your relationship with God will not be right as well. So I want us this year to navigate our new year by successfully navigating our relationships, both the vertical and the horizontal. And I wonder, would you be willing to apply these truths to your life this morning in order that we might be successful in navigating this new year? Let's pray.